Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
And finally this evening, we're chatting with Fahima Adia from Momentum Securities, talking some market. Fahima, let's start with that US CPI. Came out this afternoon, 230. Lots of moving parts, but the CPI number at 2.4, previous was 2.3, expected was 2.5%. So a little up, but perhaps a little better than the market was expecting. These are May numbers. We've got a Jerome Powell Federal Reserve meeting next week. Is this enough for him to start cutting rates again, or does him and his FOMC continue their pause?
Yeah, so it was a bit better, like you said, than what the market was expecting. And I think we're just starting to see the impacts of the tariffs start trickling through here. Mm. We'd probably have to wait, for a few more months to see the full impacts of that. So, you know, my view is that it's probably still too early for them to make a decision on this, given all the moving parts and the pending tariff negotiations. So I would think that they would probably take a more cautious approach and maybe still wait a bit to see in the next few months how the tariffs actually impact inflation going forward, because it's just really too early to tell, in my view.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the 90-day pause that President Trump put on runs until, what, I suppose, 9 July, so a little under a month ago. There are talks going on. I mean, US and China say that they've agreed to a plan to ease trade tensions during talks in London. I mean, we're seeing maybe a de-escalation, but at the end of it, we're still going to have some tariffs. We're probably going to have that 10% minimum that President Trump was talking about. That's still high, and to your point, also still inflationary.
Yes, agreed. So I think the US actually realized it doesn't have all the cards at the moment, given that it's quite dependent on China for the rare earth metals, so was forced to come to some kind of an agreement. But like you said, you know, they are trying to keep that 10% minimum tariff in place with a number of countries, and that alone will be quite inflationary and could have a negative impact on growth. But at this point, I think, you know, there are several states that have sued the Trump administration, and it's going through that appeals process. So the best case scenario would be if we could get this completely scrapped, but it'll probably take a few more months for the courts to see that through.
Yeah, and to your point, it's going to the Federal Reserve is going to be careful during that period. Let's bring it home. We had a Pan-African Resources update. They're one of the junior, they're small, one of the smaller local gold miners on our exchange. Production up, debt down. They're looking, they're doing the right thing in an almost record gold environment, is that they're producing as much as they can. And importantly, their all-in sustained costs are rising, but still at around $1,500, which makes them immensely profitable.
Yes, agreed. I think it was quite a strong production update, record gold production in the second half of the year, and that increased quite significantly by about 32% from the first half. And it's come at a great time, you know, when the gold price has been this strong, and that's just helped to reduce the debt there quite nicely. They've reduced it by $72 million, also expecting to be fully degeared during the financial year 26 if the gold price holds. And they've also guided that production for the financial year 2026 is also expected to increase quite substantially due to better operations from several of its mines. So looking quite good for now.
We've got gold just below the record highs. I think it got to almost 3,500 on the futures markets earlier in the year. Is it a sector still worth a look, or perhaps gold miners? Or is it a case of, how much higher can gold go? And I ask that question, understanding that no one knows the answer. Would you still be looking at this sector? Or is this a case of we should have gotten a while ago and now's not the time to be looking to buy?
So in my view, Simon, I'm still quite confident in the gold sector and the price moving higher over the long term. So there's been like a number of fundamental shifts that I think will continue to drive that. You know, the first is that there's that massive trade deficit in the US. And after that ratings downgrade, investors are even losing more confidence in the dollar. The bill that Trump has introduced will put more pressure on that deficit. So we see investors turning towards safer havens like gold. This increased volatility and uncertainty driven by the trade war. And the biggest one is that central banks around the world are increasing their gold reserves to diversify away from the dollar. And there's still significant room there for several countries to increase that quite substantially in the next few years. And I think that will probably keep it quite strong and moving higher.
Yeah, I do take. I share your expectations, and I think we probably can see a higher gold price. We have had a fundamental shift over the last many years. Changing tact slightly, we've seen two long-serving executives quitting in the past week. Mr. Price, co-founder and chair, Stuart Cohen, Spar's SA CEO, Max Olivier. I suppose this is just a normal process. By calling them long-founding means that they're kind of at retirement age. No one ever stays forever. And them stepping down shouldn't be a surprise to the market?
Yes, true. So I think on Mr. Price's side, the co-founder there, you know, he started that business in 1985. And it's understandable that he would take a step back now to retire. Looking at Spar, Max Oliver was there for also quite a long time, almost 3 decades. But I mean, you know, the business has been facing a number of issues lately. There's been pretty weak performance in South Africa, also some challenges in the European markets. And they had that big issue with the implementation of SAP.
Yeah.
A year or two back. So I think he's perhaps looking for better opportunities, but maybe it's also a good thing for Spar that they can maybe position someone in that role that can now really turn the business around in South Africa.
Yeah, I think Max Olivier is going to McDonald's. But staying with Mr. Price, we saw their results out Friday last week. We also saw Fashini Group out. They've both talked around an improved second half, which would have been the 6 months to February post the election. Load shedding's going. It's fair to say that South African consumers, and I'm not sure I want to say they're better off. Maybe we say that we are struggling less. They're a fair reflection of what we're seeing with South African consumers.
Yes, I think that's a good way to describe it. You can't really say better off considering where we see the GDP growth and unemployment numbers at. But they definitely seem to be making the best of a tough situation. If we look at Mr. Price, you know, still managed to strengthen its market share. I think that was by 50 basis points. And it's really the leader there in the discount segment of the market. And it's really managing to take market share because of that, because the consumer is under so much pressure. On TFG side, you know, we also saw some decent performance, not as good as Mr. Price because it doesn't operate at that same point of the discount market. But you know, they're saying that they've seen improved second half performance. And I think the South African consumer, like you said, you know, still not doing great, but the few interest rate cuts that we've seen come through has been beneficial. And inflation has also cooled quite significantly. So because of that, I think it's just maybe putting the consumer in a bit of a better position.
Better, not a great. A quick last question. We're seeing sort of the rise of the GLP-1 drugs, Zempic and the like, the weight loss drugs. And to be clear, it was a single analyst's report, but said that McDonald's could lose over $400 million annually to revenue because of people taking the Zempics. Is GLP-1, is it on your radar as something that you're, I don't know, starting to worry about in terms of, or factor in, perhaps more importantly, to some of the stocks that you look at in a portfolio?
Yes, I mean, it's going to have an impact, it looks like, in terms of this report on McDonald's. And I think as the consumer becomes more conscious of their weight and making healthier options and so forth, it could have an impact on these fast food businesses, you know. So I see a couple of analysts, they have actually rated McDonald's a sell now due to that. And I think the other issue just for these fast food businesses in the US is the fact that as these tariffs come through, it puts more pressure, inflationary pressure on the consumer. And they tend to target the lower income market. As things start getting more expensive, consumers are actually now opting to even eat less takeouts and more food at home. So there's a combination, I think, of headwinds that are really hitting them right now.
Yeah, I take your point. It's actually a few squeezes rather than just weight loss. But we'll leave it there. That's Fehim Edea, Momentum Securities. Always appreciate the insights.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.